This is an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
My name's Tarika Mbolatangivi.
And where are you from?
My background is I'm Fijian Australian. So my dad is from Suvavo and my mum's Anglo-Australian.
Lovely. So you're here at Black Girl Magic. So how do you feel about being here and presenting your work tonight?
It's a real honour to be standing on stage with these other Black Girl magicians. Just an incredible, incredible opportunity, and all praise Sister Zai for organising this event in this space. It was a sold-out crowd and the vibe is just so beautiful, and it's really humbling, and hopefully we'll see more.
Lovely. So I heard some poems that you were reading tonight. Can you explain a little bit more, go into depth about the poems that you were reading and who were they by?
Sure. So tonight my work was a tribute to Dr. Teresia Tewa, who was a poet and scholar and activist who passed away earlier this year. And she was a good friend, a colleague and a mentor, and meant and still means so much to the Pacific community, but well beyond that, her reach as an academic and just as an amazing, encouraging feminist and activist is incredible. And it was a real honour to be able to pay tribute to her tonight. And I read some poems from a book of hers that was published in the early 90s, as well as some that were more recent for an exhibition at the Asia Pacific Triennial.
Lovely. So you have three daughters? Lovely. So what inspiration and what message do you give to your daughters as, you know, beautiful Black girls?
To be whatever they want to be strong, confident in who they are, to find people that lift them up, and to just fly and shine in spite of it all.
Hi, I'm JJ Larkin. I am Turkish and African American, born in Australia.
Lovely. So how do you feel about being a part of Black Girl Magic?
I feel honoured. I was so surprised when they asked me to be a part of this. I was like, oh, me, really? And the funny thing is we didn't see anybody perform until they were actually on stage. So when I was seeing everybody do their pieces, I was like, oh, I was feeling even more proud and even more honoured. So proud, honoured, you know, really excited. That's how I'm feeling, yeah.
Lovely. Are you able to recite some poetry that you did?
My favourite phrase from my poem is, they say men have wandering eyes. Maybe those men deserve wandering wives. Maybe then they'll find someone who knows how to focus.
Wow, and what does that mean to you?
That just means to me that in a lot of our upbringings, we're told to give a lot of men concessions, and that being strong women is something that is not really attractive for a woman to have. And so just growing up and embracing a lot of my strengths and just kind of putting my foot down a lot naturally, I was just like, you know what? If they have wandering eyes, they can kind of go away, and I can find myself someone that's worth it. So that's kind of, yeah, just putting my foot down and rejecting what is being shoved down our throats as women growing up.
Beautiful. So what inspires you as an artist and, you know, in your everyday life?
Usually when I'm mad. I'm not usually mad, so my pieces are really limited. But when I feel really upset about something, like hurt, angry, or something like that, then the words come a lot easier and I can focus on something. So I feel like poetry for me is a voice to kind of channel all my feelings and get them out there in hopefully a productive way. So, yeah.
Lovely. Do you feel it sets you free and it's a healing property for you?
Definitely looking back on it. I think being able to get all my feelings and my thoughts on paper and put it in a way that I can present to people, and then let's say, you know, weeks or months later, I can look back on it when I'm feeling a lot better and be like, wow, this actually was a tool that helped me, like a diary piece, get me over it a little bit, you know.
And here with me now is Pauline Wyman, the Yorta Yorta woman. And how are you today?
I'm great, thank you very much. I just had the most amazing night on stage with all these Black girl magicians produced by Sister Zai. And, yeah, I just was, like, decolonised, if I can put it that way. So empowering.
So how does it feel sharing a stage with such amazing, amazing talents in, you know, in Australia, in the world, really?
Oh, look, I was schooled by their, you know, sheer talent and gravitas, and I'm just in awe of so many Black women in one space. telling it how it is. And you can only kind of learn or, you know, acknowledge yourself within those amazing words, spoken word. I'm still just, you know, taking it all in, and I hope, you know, I get to work with these amazing women again sometime in the future.
Lovely. So you're an actress as well, or actor?
Yes. Well, some say actress, some say actor. It's like either or as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, I've been doing it for about, I don't know, over 20 years, I think, now. And, yeah, so in recent years I started to do a bit of writing and, you know, trying to get things produced. But, hey, like, it doesn't matter if it gets produced or not in the long run. It'd be nice to get, you know, paid for your work. But I think just having a creative outlet for yourself is like, you know, good medicine, you know. And I'm often like supporting other artists, and I just, you know, love seeing other people, you know, do really well and kind of see the change in how people approach their artistic works, and, you know, what kind of lyrics people use and the way they frame things. I mean, like, it's quite incredible to see, you know, a large range of amazing artists, you know, just shaping the world in which we see ourselves, rather than, you know, listening to the mainstream airwaves and what's in our vision on the, you know, the box, etc. So, I mean, these are the places to come if you want to, you know, feel like you belong, you know what I mean? These kinds of black girl magician shows. So anybody else out there, if you get the chance, like, get involved and or get along and support, you know, these valuable events.
My name is Astrid, a brown sugar babe, and I'm from South Africa, Cape Town, but from around here I'm from the eastern suburbs.
Lovely. So how do you feel about being a part of Black Girl Magic tonight?
It's amazing, phenomenal to see so many women of colour just own their space, inhabit their vessel, you know, with confidence, with power. Like, honestly, it's just amazing. It's surreal to be part of so much power.
Beautiful. So you're about love. Your piece that you performed tonight, can you explain a little bit more about, or are you able to give a little phrase of that?
Yeah. So the thing is that when you're in love, everything's so passionate and, you know, you gaga about the person, right? And then slowly but surely you notice that things change. And when I saw this couple on the tram, clearly there was evidence that they had been in love once, because there was this baby, right? But they seemed so disconnected. And this evoked my curiosity, even about myself. So how does it happen? How does this thing go from, whoa, I can't get you off my mind, to, look, get out of my face, my body is averted from you and I can't even look at you? So, yeah, I was just curious about what happens to love.
Wow. Are you able to say a little piece of that?
Yeah. Okay. So the bowels shriek and the wheels squeal like an animal in its death throes, an oral testimony to the battleground that their love had become.
Wow, amazing. Thank you so much. What inspires you to do your poetry and write?
Well, the first person who inspired me was my dad. He's a man who lived through the apartheid era but could only go to school to grade 5 because of the apartheid era. Their parents were required to go to the police station to sign for them to go to school further. And his grandfather refused because back in the day, you were only in contact with the police if you were in trouble, right? So they didn't want to go. My dad was so heartbroken. He says he ran off and stayed in the bush for a week. But he persisted. And then later on, he was a self-learner, and then later on, distance learning came in. And as children, he was always so particular about our pronunciation, getting us to check in the Webster, how things are spelled, you know what I mean? And I could never understand, like, why is my dad so pedantic? And the kids around would make fun of us, go, oh, you guys are trying to be posh. But now I understand what that was about, you know, because each generation wants better for the generation ahead. So I'm so proud. I feel like I am the culmination of generations that has all come together in me. And I'm like, just sprouting that.
Hi there, my name's Candy Bowers.
So how do you feel tonight about being a part of Black Girl Magic?
It's such a unique feeling, I think, for all of us, because it's rare, you know, we get to be on the mic and telling everything from our point of view and to feel like validated and acknowledged and celebrated over and over again. It's kind of, it's both grounding and kind of lifts you into the air at the same time. Yeah.
Lovely. You had a piece tonight that you've written along with Pauline Wyman. She acted it with you. Tell us a little bit about that piece.
Yeah. So there was a project called Play for Australia where James Lawson asked few 20 maybe writers to write a short play, 600 word short plays, and he wanted to do it based on an Irish model of theatre to show, kind of to show the theatre industry what Australia is really all about. And I was one of the writers he commissioned, and there are a few others that actually came and watched tonight. And so mine, I decided to base it on, it actually came out of a poetry workshop with Mahogany Brown, where she got us to think about a scar on our bodies and then to write a poem from that. There was a few other bits to it, and so I ended up writing mine combining an accident that I'd had actually going up to Kawanyama to do workshops with Indigenous kids, and the idea of two women, because I just went, the other thing I've never seen on an Australian stage is two women of colour who are in a romance, like ever, never, ever, probably never on a screen either. Two Australian women, and Pauline is so beautiful, and she was one of the first actors cast in it, so we'd never done that before, like reading it, but she's always who I've seen. And I always say, doesn't matter what the ages are of these women, they've got to be women of colour and really just have chemistry to perform this part. Because it's kind of like my hope and vision for Australian theatre in the future, that we can decentralise the white male gaze and have a myriad of centres. And so tonight it was, for me, basking in the glory of our centre, you know, as black women, was really exciting.
What inspires you?
Ooh, nights like this. I mean, seeing it all become real after having dreams and dreams of it, empowering other women and definitely young people. Like, a lot of young people ask me who is my inspiration, my mentors, and I'm often like, strangely enough, it's you guys, because if I can make a place for you and you don't have to go through what I went through, and I know you can then be better than me, like you can, and they already are, like they're already on point in so many ways and more righteous and more powerful than, and I guess that links to my Indigenous kind of belief structure, which is inheritance to the next generation. I kind of say to Nicki Minaj or Katy Perry or all these ladies, like, why are you leaving this message? What is it doing for the next generation of queens? And so that's very deep in my work, that what I leave for the next is something they can step up on, not something they have to clean up or fix.
My name is Sister Zai Zanda. I'm Karanga. My totem is Shamu Siamwa, that's the great Elan Bull, or Morfu, rather. And they call me Wachiera, so that's the name that's given to women from my particular language group. We're fierce warriors, apparently. I'm the curator of the Pan-African Poets Cafe. I started the space because I really wanted to celebrate Africa's rich literary legacy. People didn't know a lot about African literature here. It kind of felt like they thought it was something fairly recent and a new phenomenon. But people have been writing, like, writers of African background have been writing in English since the 50s and the 60s as a way to really change the image of Africa. So it was like they were speaking back to the colonizer. So that's why they took on that particular form of the novel and also the English language. But then they started having conversations about maybe we should be doing it in our own languages. Why are we even speaking to the colonizer? So there's like a really rich debate, and there's like a lot of literature that came out of that era. So I was interested in that. But I also realized that there's a lot of contemporary new work that was being creative, but it didn't have a platform. And people needed a platform. But that said, like, we're telling stories on First Nations lands, right? So protocol says that we have to give space to First Nations people to set the tone of the conversation, and then we can proceed and tell our stories. So the Pan-African Poets Cafe always gives love and respect to all First Nations peoples, you know, all First Nations of Australia. And Black Girl Magic is one of those hashtags that came out, and it's entered our vernacular. Like, it's something everybody kind of knows what it means, you know. So Black Girl Magic was about honoring that, like a 2014 new term and word that just came out from Kashawn Thompson to celebrate the universal awesomeness of black women. I think it's really necessary to do that. We know the statistics. We know what's going on for black women everywhere around the world, you know, and for black transgender women as well. You know, we know the statistics. So it's good to have an event where we can celebrate ourselves and just remind ourselves, because some of that white supremacy is a way of seeping into you, and you start to believe it, you know, seeps into your skin. You don't quite wash it off sometimes. So you need a nice space like this, surrounded by people who are positive and affirming each other and affirming you. Take that energy with you in your life, and even I need it. Top up.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.